Well, we will be beginning our Christmas series this morning, and we're going to start with the Christmas story. The Christmas story. Our text verse will be Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, and this will be a textual message, so we'll just be going down through that verse and talking about it. But Isaiah 9 and verse 6, the Christmas story. In Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 6, the Word of God says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll talk about this. Heavenly Father, we thank you for letting us be in your house this morning. I do pray you'd forgive me for my sins. Fill me with your Holy Spirit as I preach and these as they hear. And please help us to do what we need to do and help us to have faith in you during this time of year. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Amen. So, for unto us. Who is the us that Isaiah is talking about? Well, obviously, he's talking about the Jews, because Isaiah was a Jew. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. And of course, Jesus came as the Jewish Messiah. He came to fulfill promises that were made in Jewish scriptures. And yet, us goes beyond the Jews. And let's look at the first two verses of this chapter of Isaiah, and we'll see that. We'll see that us goes beyond the Jews. So Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 2, "Nevertheless, the dimness shall not be such as was in her vexation, when at the first he lightly afflicted the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, and afterward did more grievously afflict her by the way of the sea beyond Jordan in Galilee of the nations. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined." Now, this is a prophecy of Jesus' ministry and the fact that he would extend his ministry beyond the Jews to the Gentiles. And we can see that Matthew 4:12-16. "Now when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast, in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, The land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up." So Jesus ministered to the Jews, but beyond the Jews in Gentile regions, Galilee of the Gentiles. And we praise the Lord for that, that when Isaiah says and the Bible says, "For unto us a son is born, unto us a child is given," that Jesus Christ didn't just come for the Jews, but he came for the Gentiles as well. Amen. Now we'll look at a child is born. A child is born. He was born of a virgin. He was born of a virgin, a miraculous birth. Matthew 1:18 says, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost." So not only did he have the miraculous birth being born of a virgin, but he was born a Savior. Matthew 1:21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." Jesus was born a Savior. He was also born in humble circumstances. Luke 2:7, And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. So Jesus was born in very humble circumstances where animals would be. There was no room for them in the inn. Of course, there's funny stuff that goes around every year on Facebook, memes of Mary mad at Joseph because he didn't make reservations and all that kind of a thing. But they were doing this census, and the town was crowded, and so there wasn't room for them in the inn, and so that's where they had to go. He was sought by wise men. Matthew 2:1-8. Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. So these magi, these wise men, perhaps kings, rulers, they came seeking Jesus Christ because they had seen his star. They were people that studied the stars, and they used the science of astronomy, and also our astrology today is wicked. It's very corrupt. But as we studied in Job this morning, God made the constellations for a purpose. And God asked Job if he understood how Orion and the different constellations were created and what their purpose was. And so there are Bible scholars that believe the ancient constellations were given to point towards the time of the Messiah's birth and to point towards the Messiah's birth. So these wise men studied the stars and they saw his star in the east. They probably also read the prophecies of Daniel the prophet because they were in that region where Daniel had written, and they probably studied Daniel's prophecies, which pinpointed the time when the Messiah would come. And so they used the stars and the prophecies, and they came to Jerusalem looking for Jesus Christ. Spurgeon said, "Tidings of the arrival of these strangers in the Jewish capital asking for the newborn king would be sure to spread rapidly. The news soon reached the palace, and Herod, one of the most suspicious and cruel of tyrants, and therefore the most cowardly of men, was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him." So now we're continuing in Matthew 2 and verse 4. "And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born." This is Herod. "And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privily called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child. And when ye have found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also." Of course, Herod had no intention of worshiping Christ. He wanted to kill him, because he saw the Lord Jesus Christ as a threat to his power. And that leads us to number 5. Jesus was threatened by a king at his birth. So now we'll look at, "Unto us a son is given." Unto us a son is given. Jesus Christ was both the Son of God and the Son of David. He was the Son of God, but he was also the Son of David. Isaiah 9:7, "Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David, and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this." So now we see why Herod saw Jesus as a threat and wanted to kill him. As the son of David, it was prophesied that he would sit on David's throne and rule Israel. Of course, Herod was ruling the Jews, and so Herod saw Jesus as a threat. He was a rival king, and he wanted to kill him. And that leads us to point number four, the government shall be upon his shoulder. Now notice, upon his shoulder is symbolic language. The government wasn't literally perched on Jesus' shoulder, but it's symbolic language. Shoulders are strong, yet the Lord will carry the government of the world on one shoulder. The government shall not be upon his shoulders, but upon his shoulder. And God will carry the government of the world upon one shoulder. And that leads us to point number five. His name shall be called Wonderful. His name shall be called Wonderful. The word wonderful means a wonder, a marvel. Jesus was a marvel. He was wonderful. He had a wonderful, marvelous birth, born of a virgin. He was a wonder because he was the King of Kings, yet he was born in such humble circumstances to a humble family. He did many marvelous works, as the Bible says, and so he was wonderful. He's a counselor. His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. He is the one who guides our lives, who purposes things and brings them to pass. His counsel is not just mere advice, but it is his purposing and bringing things to pass. He is a wonderful counselor. He guides our lives. He is the mighty God and the everlasting Father. These are explicit claims of deity for the Messiah. Jesus Christ is God. And let's look in John chapter 10, verses 30 through 39. Jesus said, I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones against him to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy. And because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, ye are gods? If he called them gods unto whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe me not, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. So the Bible in Isaiah says that the Messiah will be the mighty God, the everlasting Father. And here Jesus says, know ye not that the Father is in me, and I in him. And they understand from this, the Pharisees and the Jewish leaders understand from this, that he's claiming deity, he's claiming to be God. And so they take up stones to stone him, but he escapes out of their hand because it wasn't his time to die. The ancient Nicene Creed is a good explanation of Jesus' deity, and it says, we believe in one God, the Father Almighty, the maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made. So Jesus said, I and my Father are one. And this explains it, being of one substance with the Father. There is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. The Bible explains that, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. There's only one God, and yet He exists in three eternal persons, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and they are of one substance." And so the Father and the Son are one. Now the fifth thing we see is that Jesus is the Prince of Peace. The Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. But we don't see peace in the world. There's not much peace in the world. The song, "I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day" by Henry Wadsworth Longfellow says, "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." And this expresses the way the world is. There's no peace on earth or goodwill to men. People are always fighting. They're at war. They're arguing. Jesus said this, by the way, Matthew 10, 34 through 36, "Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I am come not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household." And then in Luke chapter 12 and verse 51, "Suppose ye that I am come to give peace on earth, I tell you nay, but rather division." So how can Jesus Christ be the Prince of Peace if He came to bring division amongst families? Luke 2, 13 through 14, "Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So how can Jesus be the Prince of Peace? Jesus did not come the first time to bring peace between men, but to bring God's peace to men. We can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So Jesus came, He's the Prince of Peace, because even though when a family member gets saved and the rest of the family is not saved, that causes conflict and division within the family. We got to remember that even though in the United States, normally, if a family member gets saved, it might cause some arguing. There's places all over the world, in Muslim countries, very strict places, where if a family member gets saved and becomes a Christian, they'll be disowned by their family, maybe even killed. And so, Jesus, because of the gospel, brought a sword to families when one family member gets saved and the rest don't. But He came to bring peace between God and man. And we can have peace with God through Jesus Christ. So let's look at our text again. "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." And so this Christmas season, let's love and embrace and believe in the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father. Jesus Christ is not merely a man, and He's not merely a baby that was born in a manger, but He is God come to earth. God robed in human flesh, who came to earth to die on the cross for our sins and to rise from the dead. And if we believe in Him as our crucified, buried, and risen Savior, we can have peace with God. Peace that you don't have if you're not saved. And I know that because the Bible says the wicked are like a troubled sea whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. And you don't have peace if you don't have Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. But when you have Christ, you can have peace with God because you know that your sins are forgiven and that you have eternal life. And that's a wonderful thing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank you that you gave your only begotten Son to come to the earth to die for our sins and to rise from the dead. We thank you that he was born to die, and he died that we might live. And we pray that if anyone here doesn't know you as Savior, that they would today repent and believe in you and be saved. And we pray if anyone here has a loved one that is not saved, that this Christmas season that they would be a testimony and a witness, and that their loved one would come to faith in Christ this Christmas season. We ask it in Jesus' name. We know salvation is of the Lord. We know only you can save. And we pray that you would save those in our families who are not saved. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We'll stand and sing a verse of Amazing Grace. If you need to come to the altar and pray, maybe you want to pray for a loved one, then please come.